Good morning, Rabbi Isai. First of all, thank you last week to David. David Blackman, who stood in for the whole week and gave the halacha every day. And I'm sure that he's told you all about Parsha Zochar and everything that you need to know. This week, obviously last Shabbos was Hafsoka, but this coming Shabbos will be Parsha Zochar. And I'd like to thank him for leaving me the juiciest bit. Well, we can discuss him yesterday and this week, which is particularly nagar to me because I lie. And that is this question of Timcha Ezeche Amalek. Yeah, whether it's Zeche or Zecher, what are the minhogim, what you should do, what's the right thing to do. So let's start off with the Ramah. The Ramah says, well, the Mechaber says, as you learnt last week, that because we learn that the Kriya Satoira of Parsha Zocha is Mida Oraisa, therefore, he says you have to read it Beneginosom uvatamom, that you should read it accurately. Yuzoru mikol mokim. He says that the Ramo says that if somebody can't get to shul and he cannot hear Kriyas HaTorah of Parsha Zochar, then at least at home he should read Parsha Zochar. He says if it's impossible for somebody to come to shul, mikol mokim yuzoru likroisom beneginosom uvatamom. That person should try and line Parsha Zochar at home, and he should line it with the Neginas and with the Tamim, in other words, accurately, and in the way that one lines, obviously for somebody who can. In other words, don't miss out on Parsha Zochar altogether just because you can't get to shul. If necessary, somebody who's stuck at home and cannot get to shul should still line it. Says the Mishnah Berurah, this is Tofresh Pehei, Steve Cotton, Yud Ches. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Da. He says that some people say, and this is our subject, some people say that you have to read Zecher Amalek with a Tzere under the Zayin, as in the word Zecher. And some say Shetorech Likrois Zecher Amalek Besegol. They're not Zecher, but Zecher. Val Kain, therefore says the Mishnah Berurah, the correct thing to do is, and that's what we do, but there are four different menhagim as to how to do it, yeah, that we do it, and I want to be sure that I've been yoitzer. The Mephoshim all say, you're yoitzer either way. If you say Zeche, you're yoitzer Parsha Zochar. If you say Zeche, you're yoitzer Parsha Zochar. But if you want to be yoitzer every possibility, and in every possibility, then you should read Lotzeis Yidei Shneihem. Okay, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. What's the difference between them? So the difference between them is as follows: there is a there are nouns and there are constructs. Yeah, what that means is as follows: a noun is a thing, an object, a something. A something is a noun, right? So Zecher, the word Zecher, being a memory or a remembrance, is a noun. It's a remembrance. Anything that you can say in front of it, the letter A, in other words, the word A, or the word the, yeah, is an object, is a something, and that's a noun. The construct is the smichus. That means the something of. Okay? You don't need to add the ha at all. So, for instance, very simple. Bayis is a house. A house is bayis. Okay? You change the word bayis to base, and you make base hakneses, or base hamedrash. The word base means the house of. Bayis is a house, base is the house of. So that's a noun, and that's the smichus. Okay? Tomorrow we'll be able to give other examples. There are sometimes when you change the word, and there are sometimes when you keep the word exactly as it is, in both forms. So later we'll discuss that tomorrow. Which one's not working? Okay, fine. We'll put that on. So we'll carry on tomorrow. Meanwhile, Moshe, apparently this one's not working. You'll get it on in a moment.
Sunday, Hey Adar, Rabbi YY Rubenstein, Klal Yisrael, and the Caper Bush. As usual, the shiz is Le'ilu Nishmas, our founder, Rabbi Yossi Dov, and Shimon Falsi. It's Mitch. Zichron Yivroch.
Thank you. Good. Are we live?
Yeah. I'm sure we're live. Well, I don't know. It's not broadcasting for some reason. That one's on. The two audios are on, but the video's not. It should be broadcasting. I think I've switched off and start again. Just this. Okay. Anyway, let's start anyway. Yeah, because we've got 2 out of 3 working.
Yeah, it's good. Let's start.
Please. It's on?
Yes, please. It is a start. Let's go.
First of all, it's obviously goes without saying, it's a pleasure to be back starting Day of the Torah week in London. It's been quite a while. I've been travelling all around the world. I'm no longer an American. Well, I'm actually American still. But I'm now an Israeli. So we made Aliyah nearly a year ago. So, who said never? Okay, right. We have a conversation afterward. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, what's good to be living in Eretz Yisrael? And what's good to be back here? So basically, one of my son, who's another Rav of Torah Chaim, asked me for the title. He said, what? Klal Yisrael and the Kippur Bush. Right. So in case you were baffled, worry not. We are going to be explaining exactly what that's all about. I find very often when I'm speaking to less frum audiences, and of course in the old days, when I used to, please forgive the nibble pay, broadcast for the BBC. Exactly. Oh, you sneezed. I thought you spat. Then in those days, it was very, very common for people to ask me the following question. What's so special about the Jews? Why are Jews the chosen people? Now, the honest answer to this is extremely large, I would say. And we could lay claim to all sorts of reasons why we should be the chosen people. I think I once told you my late father-in-law was a very, very senior scientist for the American government. Growing up, my wife used to say to her, he was a big guy. And sadly, towards the end of his life, he got dementia. So he couldn't speak to his son because his son didn't speak Yiddish, but he had gone back to his mamaloshen, so he and I were able to speak. But my wife was growing up, she used to say, Dad, they lived in California, he lectured at Stanford University in physics and engineering. What exactly is it you do? And he replied, well, honey, it's a little bit complicated. When you're older, I'll explain it to you. Well, he never gave that explanation, but when he passed away, going through his papers, we discovered what he did. He was in charge of the team that designed and built America's intercontinental ballistic missiles to carry the nuclear payload to turn the USSR into toast. I have in my mind the picture of some little yid in Moscow designing the Russian intercontinental ballistic missiles to go the other way. But if you consider, and he used to say, when it comes to Nobel Prizes, as you probably know, even though we are 0.02% of humanity, he used to point out that it's 22% of Nobel Prize winners are Jews. In fact, there are only 2 ethnic groups which are disproportionately represented in Nobel Prize achievements. That's the Jews, and do you know the other group?
Yes.
No, the Scots. So to be Jewish and Scottish is, gentlemen, to be doubly blessed. However, you could talk about the tremendous contribution Klal Yisrael has made to medicine, the cure for polio, the cure for bubonic plague. There's an irony that we were blamed for the Black Death, and yet it was a Jew who invented the cure for the Black Death. But I would say, in all honesty, what I think is unique about us, what makes us special and perhaps the chosen people, in fact, we'll see in a second, exactly the chosen people, is that I think what we do better than anybody else is Hashem. I think what Klal Yisrael does better than anything else is God. That means to say, if we look through our own history, we will see catastrophe and tragedy and slaughter and massacre, crusades and inquisitions. Of course, Rahman al-Islam, the Holocaust, and then the mini Holocaust of October the 7th, just a couple of years ago. And yet, if you wanted to find a people who takes all of that and still tenaciously stays attached to Hashem Yisborach, it's only Klal Yisrael. Anybody else would have given up on God many years ago. If that's the way it's going to go, if I'm not going to become rich, if I'm not just going to go my way, then I'm out of here, as they say. But we have never been out of here, no matter how many patch etched that we get from Hashem Yisborach. Klal Yisrael are remarkably like glue when it comes to Hashem Yisborach. That's what I think we do best. It takes me to something we said just, I don't know what time you daven Shacharis this morning, but in Hoidu that we say every morning, of course in this is Fad, you start off with Hoidu, after Karbonis and Ashkenaz, no, but in Hoidu, it says two things which are pertinent, I think, to this. Right at the beginning, Zera Yisrael Abdoi, Zera, we are the seed of Yisrael Abdoi, his servants, Bnei Yaakov Bechirov, and then another designation for Klal Yisrael, Bnei Yaakov Bechirov. So why two designations? So I daven from the Seder Ishi Yisrael, which the Seder of the Gro, or Minhag and Nusach of the Gro, and there's a wonderful, wonderful parish here called Siach Yitzchok, Yitzchok Malzim. And he says the following thing. Let me read a little bit to you just to prove to you I'm a fully qualified rabbi. Although I should say I'm an older fully qualified rabbi than I last saw you. So the print is, I've noticed that the prints are shrinking in books. Yisrael Yeshalem Shnei Milas. What Hoidu is telling us is that Klal Yisrael has two Milas. Ho'echot mitzad yuchsum, I'll have to get my glasses off, yes, it's getting bad. Yuchsum, because of our yichus, beis kashrusum el avoisum hakadoshim. The first yichus that we have, the first mila, the first what makes us special and chosen, is the fact that we are connected to kadoshim, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, v'chulu v'chulu. The second mila that we have, mitzad shehim atzum b'chiri Hashem, apart from our history, our past and our connection to the past, there's also our present. And in our present, that we are, in our own right, Bechiri Hashem. Shem Atzam Bechiri Hashem. Kamal Shekov, it says in Devarim, Becho Bocher Hashem Elokecho, Lies Lo Am Segula. That Hashem says, I've chosen you. You. Present tense. Not Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's a different story. And indeed, we're connected to that story. But in our own right, in every generation, you're chosen to be the Am HaNifchot. Very nice. Ki me'ahavas Hashem eskem, mishmora is hashavua asher mishmol abseko. So two things: Hashem loves you, loves us, this generation of Jews, and our connection to the others. Ben besin yonim hanal. And these are these two ideas which are alluded to in the words here in Hoyda. Ach maze inin habachir v'ahava hazayis. But what does that mean? That choice, that choosing of us in this generation, in our time. What does that mean? Because, as he goes on to say, can you do a she'ena haba a bechira b'loy tam? You don't love somebody, you don't choose somebody unless there's a reason for doing so. You choose somebody to be the, you know, the head boy in the school because he's the most talented young man. And you love somebody, there's a reason why you love your wife. There's a reason why we love our children. Well, until they're teenagers anyway. And if you want to say, oh, it's because of us, we are so special, and every generation, Jews are wonderful. We know that's not true. There are generations when, frankly, we are embarrassingly not good. As I'll say, why is it that Hashem didn't tell Moshe to come down from Har Sinai just a little bit early? You know, it's strange. All of Klal Yisrael, Moshe comes up and says, I'm going out there 40 days, 40 nights. We all know the mistake that they made. Of course, the day that he was talking about wasn't part of the calculation. They expect him to buy earlier, and he's not buy earlier. So they all panic and go berserk. But we all know, and now that I've recently turned 70, we all know that in every shul there is the grumpy old Jew. There's always an old grumpy old fellow. And he goes, no, no, we didn't do it that way. My great-grandfather, he founded the shul, and we don't... You know, there's always somebody like that. Oh, sorry, it's the American thing, sorry. It could be a London accent, or a Manchester accent, as well. Anyway, so basically, why wasn't there one grumpy old Jew there? At Har Sinai. So they're all panicking. Oh, we're going to make an eagle. Listen, guys. Or, you know, Luke Mike. just calm down a bit here. You know, all we need to do is wait and see. Maybe he didn't mean that day to be part of the Cheshbon. Right. Why wasn't the one grumpy old Jew who did that? Because there's always a grumpy old Jew. And so therefore, or Hashem could have sent us back early. So the Gemara in Shabbos famously says that the reason that Hashem is bar allowed the whole story of the eagle to take place, or in the case of Dovin HaMelech, when he fires that arrow that cuts the cord that was keeping up the Mechitza, which allowed him to see Bathsheba in her nakedness, which apparently, so the world thinks, drove him to madness and insanity and passion and all this stuff. Why? And it was the Sultan who moved the arrow. Why not Hashem move the arrow back again? So the Gemara says, if you live in a generation in which you despair that that generation is worthy of the name Yisrael, that the behavior of Klal Yisrael is so bad, and you despair that there'll be any way out of this, remember there was a generation that was so very bad that Hashem said, I'm going to wipe them out once you're being and start again from you. Never despair. Or if you, Chas HaSholem, as a Yochid, have done something so terrible that you think there is no forgiveness for you, think about David HaMelech. Whatever he did, Lefi Medrigoso, etc., etc., what comes out from that is an accusation of Chilul Hashem, let's put it in those terms, because if you do something wrong, there's a way back even for you. So, of course, there can be a generation that's not good. So what does this mean? There's got to be a reason why you love Klal Yisrael, but in every generation, we're not in the highest possible Medrigo. So what does that mean? In Talmud Mitzah Kishron, Omer doesn't say, Lobetit Kosko, not when your greatness, of Yoshevok and the straightness of your heart. So therefore, why does he love us? What's so unique about us? And the Ramban makes the comment on that. I'm just trying to check our time, which is always short. Can't see the clock. Can't see anything these days. So basically, I'll read a little bit more of the Ramban for you, and I'll give us a context here. Zeloshona. But Yivkor Behem Nikolamim were chosen from all the peoples of the world, Atem Segula, Benachlo Loi, to be the inheritance of Hashem Yisborach. Ki HaBechira Bekol Mokam Brera Min HaAchir, because Bechira, choice, means, by definition, selecting one thing and rejecting others. You make a choice. And Hashem has done that with Klal Yisrael. VaOmar Hatam ki mehamas Hashem eschem bochar bechem shroy eschem royim lizhav, because Hashem obviously is making a statement, therefore, ergo, that he saw that we were lovable, worthy of his love more than anybody else. Benivcharam lahava yos bekol ami belo hiske bezetav, but he doesn't say a reason why. Okay, that's the Metzias, but the Ramban is not giving us the why. What's so special about Klal Yisrael that makes us worthy of this unique status and affection in the heart of Hashem Yisborach? Mina bechira, mina nifcha, la'oyev yedua, small is ahobo b'kol, abo, alov, mimeni Yisrael, roim l'kach, b'kol am. Why are we so special, than more special than any other nation? So she'omro gimel azam ha'Yisrael ba'umas. And then, this is the end of the Yitzchok Malzin's parish here, and he says, "Ki ozim him Yisrael, but umas o Yehudi od sluv, o Yehudi od sluv." Now, what does that refer to? So we have to look at a very, very intriguing Gemara. So the Gemara is in Be'er, and it's in Kof He. And Rav Shimon Ben Lokish says, Kof He Amud Beis. Rav Shimon Ben Lokish says, "Gimel azim him." There were three, or there are three azin. How would you translate, gentlemen, azin?
Fierce.
Fierce, arrogant, strong, az. Right? Gimel azin him. Amongst the nations, Yisrael b'umais. Amongst the nations of the world, the fierce one, and it's a hemshuk of the Gemara, that Gemara is talking about. The Torah had to be given to Klal Yisrael because only Klal Yisrael could be tamed by the Torah. That's the only thing that would tame us. Apparently, we're really quite wild. Again, think of the two groups that won the prize that I talked about before. Nobel Prize, the Nobel Prize, Scots and Jews. Oh, there you see, the wild ones, you know, the lunatics. So, amongst the nations of the world, says the Gemara, That's klal yisrael. As amongst the nations, amongst the animals, kolod b'chayos, a dog amongst the animals, tarnagol b'ifus, and the cockerel amongst the animals, amongst the birds, rather, the birds, yeah. The Gemara says maybe he's just talking about behemoth daka, not the wild lions and stuff like that. But yesh omim af tzlaf be'ilonos, and the tzlaf amongst the trees. The tzlaf is the caper bush. The caper bush.
Okay.
Now, gentlemen, I'd like you to rewrite the Gemara for me. Okay. Because at first reading, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever, as I'm sure you'll agree. I mean, if you were Jews, I'm quite happy with the Jews being fierce. Okay, that's okay. Because the Torah to contain that, it's fine. But amongst the animals, what would you choose to be the fiercest amongst the animals? The lion! The lion! Think of the royal standard of Scotland. The lion, the rampant lion. Oh, indeed, the royal standard of England. Three lions. Greedy, the English. And of course, on Yehuda's standard, that's why when you drive up to Jerusalem, you see a rampant lion like the Scottish one, a lion on its back legs, because that was the standard of the royal household of Klal Yisrael. Right, a lion, that makes sense. A lion. But here it's a dog. Ever seen a poodle? Doesn't really terrify me. And a tarnagol b'ifus. What would you make it amongst the birds?
Eagle.
Eagle, obviously. Right? And then amongst the trees, the tzlaf. Amongst the trees, the tzlaf. There's an astonishing Rashi on tzlaf, the caper bush. Lo yodati mahu azaz shalom. I have not the faintest idea why the caper bush is considered to be fierce, strong, etc. I was saying this in a shir in Yerushalayim a few months ago, and a young lady came up to me afterwards, and she said, maybe it's because Rashi never got to Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi lived in Eretz Yisrael, never in France, well, what we now call France, it wasn't France, of course, in those days. Around about 1096, that's the day of the First Crusade. This would be a very bad time for Jews to start wondering about going, becoming tourists, especially when there's a battle going on between the Muslim world and the Christian world. I don't think any historical record says that Rashi actually went to Eretz Yisrael. But if he'd gone to Eretz Yisrael, of course, the first place he would have gone to would be where, what do you think?
The Kaisel.
The Kaisel. And if you go to the Kaisel, we all know that there are these bushes growing out on the wall of the Kaisel. And that's the tzlaf. These are the caper. And that caper bush, the problem with the caper bush is that the roots run deep and they're scared that it's going to weaken the stones. And so they, every now and again, sometimes you're there, you see it happening, they get up there and they're cutting it out, or they're burning it out, or they're poisoning it out, and it just won't die. It just won't die. There's something remarkable at the slot, it just carries on. No matter what you give it, it just, bang, 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 it just carries on going. Still struggling a bit with this as stuff, but nobody translated it for me. Because we davened just a few moments ago, and we davened every day that Hashem should protect us from aziponim and azizponim. In which case it means chutzpah. And if it means chutzpah, then it starts to make a bit of sense. So the Jewish people amongst the nations, chutzpah dick. Well, okay, as we say in England, it's a fair cop. Triple parking in Golders Green Road, right, gentlemen? You're all looking extremely guilty about that one, and nobody. I just noticed that. So, triple barking, and not only that, then it goes on to the dog. Because I'm saying that the dog is a chutzpahdik animal. It barks at you, it threatens to bite you. Chutzpah. And the tarnagol is very interesting. You know, think of back in the day when you were in Gateshead Yeshiva, whose, I think, funding campaign starts today. I've got to raise £1,800, just in case anybody wants to contribute to my page. But you know, you're a bocher. Remember when you're a bocher and you wake up and you're sort of, oh no, I'm too tired to get up, you know. And then suddenly outside, well, not in Gateshead. wildlife in Gateshead, apart from the humans, no. So basically, it's a chutzpahdik animal. You want to sleep? Oh no, wake up! Right? what is so special about the Kippur bush? The thing about the Kippur bush is that it will not give in. Here is a Medrash Rabbah, at least I hope it is. Where did I put this Medrash Rabbah? Don't do this to me. Oh. Yes. Medrash Rabbah says the following thing. Almost the exact same lotion that we had. Omarav Yokim Gimel Chatsufim Hem. Now ours was Gimel Azim. But here, Chatsufim. Three chutzpahniyaks. Chotzav Bechaya. Then Chotzav Bechaya is the caliph. Ba'oif is the Tarnagol. The chutzpahniyak in there is the Tarnagol. Ba'uma is Yisrael. And Omarav Yitzchok Bar Radifa. Ritzel Bar Adiva says, "B'shem Rem Ami, Ata Sova Shehula Ganai." You think that saying that Catholic Jews are chutzpahnik is an insult? Is a derogatory term? Not at all. Ve'enu el l'shvach. This is the shvach of Klal Yisrael. And then it ends with these two words: O Yehudi, O Tzaluv. O Yehudi, O Tzaluv. Tzadik Lamed. Vav Beis. Now, what's the name of the Kippur bush in Hebrew? Saluf. Saluf. Slav. Tzadik Lamed Fe. Now, you know, of course, Rav Shamsun Fulhersh has got a whole binion built on the fact that words with interchangeable letters but almost sound the same are indeed connected. And that's what the commentary in the Eitz Yosef turns around and says. After the Klal Yisrael were given the Torah, on Har Sinai, then their position always is either I live as a Jew or you can hang me in that gallows, but I'm not budging. The mila that Klal Yisrael has, the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael, why Hashem loves us more than any other people, is because we just don't let go of him. No matter what you say, I'm not letting go. Look at the time, and I don't want to mention names, but there's a famous Rav who lost many, many children. You maybe guess who this was, somebody I know. I heard at the time, because he'd one tragedy after the other. He lost four originally, and then others. I think seven, he said, she'd already for seven children. Somebody told me at the time, they said, I felt that Hashem was trying to push me away, and I kept telling him, you're not going to succeed. I mean, come on, it's like, I mean, you know, you want to say to when you say tell these stories. He just, and he went on to build the yeshiva, and that's Israel with about 200 boys. It's not far from where I just spoke there for the moment. It's one of my favourite places to speak in the whole world, apart, of course, from starting the Torah in London. But there's a very, very interesting addition to this, and I hope my marker hasn't fallen out. Listen, so that's the Slav. The thing about the Slav is it's just like us. It will not let go. It just keeps growing no matter what you do to it. Interestingly, there's a famous story we know at the beginning of Shmois, when Moshe Rabbeinu is confronted by Hashem as Baruch, and there's a burning bush. What was that burning bush? So here is a Medrash Rabbah at the beginning, Shmois Pebeis, and it says like this. Rabbi Yossi Omer Kishem Shasneh Kosha Mikol Ha'ilonot. Rabbi Yossi says, just like the snare, this burning bush is the hardest, toughest of all the trees, which is just how we defined the Kippur bush before, Slav. The call oiv shenikmas the toich snare ain't yotzin b'sholom. And any bird that goes into it, because another thing about the Slav, it's got little thorns, which are pointed that way, a way down. So a bird goes into it, it gets caught. It doesn't come out with kind of tearing itself to pieces. Oh, then the snare, this is the Kippur bush, which makes perfect sense. Of course, we saw that it was in fire, but wasn't consumed. And they tried to burn it at the council. It's not consumed. It is the very definition, the common denominator running through all of these things. It's chutzpah. But chutzpah is a shvach b'klal Yisrael, because if you're Hashem Yisborach, and you're trying to find the people who would carry the message you want brought to the whole world, through Inquisition, and through Crusade, and through pogroms, and through even the Holocaust of Ramadan Islam, what mida would you want them to have? What essential mida must they have?
And that's the meaning of Lazarus. We're just not budging. You might try and push us away. We just ain't budging.
4 minutes to tell your story. When I moved to Eretz Yisrael, when we made Aliyah, and moved there, I say it was just nearly, it was March last year. I'd been there for 2 weeks, and one of my talmid in America arranged for me to, I'd mentioned in one of my shirin, that I've got pictures of all my rebbes, my rebbeim, Iker rebbeim, on my wall, Rabbi Rakov, Zachsad Abroch of the Gates of Rav, Rabbi Gurevitz, Rabbi Yonah Balkan of Manchester, and I listed them all off, and said that the one that I don't have, and I must do something about that, is a picture of the Manchester Rosh Hashiva, who I was zeichel to be close to, and of course a great tzaddik. And 2 weeks after I arrived there, so did a picture from this Talmud in America of the Manchester Rosh Hashiva. So of course I wanted to get it framed. We live in Rechavia, and the next street to us it's called Betzalel, which is the main road, and then it splits off into a little pedestrian area. And I noticed walking there that there was a framing shop, sort of small, everything small in Israel, dusty, a bit dark. I said, well, I'll try there. So I went there and I opened the door, and there was a lady there, obviously her store, very tiny store. And she was a lady, clearly not religious. I'd say a lady in her 60s, in her 60s. Very, very friendly, very sweet. And she said to me, Shalom. And I said to her, Shalom. And she said to me, Mashal. I'm just trying to impress you here. Mashalcha. And I said, and that was the end of it, because I've not signed up for, you know, Ulpan, and that was the end of it. So I said, she said, of course. And so I said, okay, so I've got a picture I'd like to have framed. She said, can I see it? So I took out this picture, and she said, oh, what a face, giants, what a face. Interesting. Didn't know who it was, just the face. And how would you like it framed? So I told her what I wanted. She said, oh, no. Because if anybody in Eretz Yisrael, you will know. When you pay a taxi driver, he decides where you're going. It's true. A story about that. I once got a taxi to take me to my son's house in Kiryat Yovel. And when I told him that I'd never been, because they asked me on this trip, had I been to Kibbutz Rochel? I said, no, I haven't. He said, in fact, I've never been to Kibbutz Rochel. Guess where he took me? It's true. So she said, no, that won't work. And so she told me where it was going. So fine, okay. And then the door opened, and in came a lady, about the same sort of age. And this lady was sort of modern Orthodox, and she said to me, do you mind if I just give her, she's just come to collect something? I said, no. So off she went, and she brought something wrapped in paper, and it was about this size, actually. And she took off the paper, and inside there was Hebrew writing, looked like a quote, poem, something like that. And there was a twig, some sort of plant there as well. And I picked up in the conversation they were having, that her son, this was something from her son, in fact it was a poem he had read. He'd been killed in the IDF 4 years before, fighting. And the time of the year when this plant, whatever blossoms, I can't remember what it was, she wanted that there as well. I was listening to this and trying to pick it up. I was quite moved and quite upset. And I said, I can't hear, forgive me, I overheard what was saying. I'm very, very sorry that you lost your son. And then the lady in charge of the store is called Nava. She turned around and said, she has another son who just came back from Gaza 2 months ago, minus his left hand and minus his left eye, and totally blind in his right eye. Obviously, some sort of explosion. And then she started to talk to me. She's perfect English. And she said, when my son came back, he told me that when he woke up, obviously you must have been evacuated, must have been an explosion, he'd be in a coma or something like that, but when he actually woke up and he opened his eyes, or rather eye, all he saw was black. And he said, this is the mother telling me this story, I felt it was though, if you ever been to a movie, you know, the end of the movie, then the credits, you know, who the actors were and all that sort of stuff. And then at the end, the thing goes totally black except for two words, which is the end. So that's how I felt. That's how I felt. But 2 weeks later, I still saw that black screen like the movies. But instead of two words, there were three words. To be continued. Gentlemen, to be continued.
there was a girl, he wasn't religious, there was a girl he knew, they were just friends, literally friends. But when he came back, this girl and he became Hossan and Kala. She didn't want to marry him before, but now she wanted to marry him. At that moment in time, they were both in Los Angeles. He was raising funds for Israeli soldiers wounded in Gaza. And one day he'd raised $1.5 million. So she told me this story, I was really, really moved. And this lady who owned the store, she said, "This is what I love about living in Israel. The partnership. The shituf. Shituf. Even though it's a sad story like this, but I feel it's our story. We're all part of each other's story." And this lady turned around and said, she's a modern Orthodox lady, she said, "Yes, that's what we need. Achdut, achdut, achdut." And for me, that story is the quintessential story of us, of the whole of Klal Yisrael. To be continued. Even when we don't know what the next movie is, even when we don't know what the thing is coming next, but we're coming back to the shul, we come back to the base of Medrash, we come back to our homes, where Kosh Kashrus reigns, and the Torah reigns, and the mezuzah to kiss, Klal Yisrael, to be continued, because we're chutzpahniks. We're chutzpahniks. So gentlemen, I want to give you a brocha. Keep on being a chutzpahniak.
I call it another word.
What?
Resilient.
Yes, you could call it resilient.
Yankee as well. Yankee as well. Yankee as well.